Well, friends, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, that's found on page 1381. Matthew chapter 6, 1380 and 1381. In the Bibles provided for you, we're going to read just one little verse and then jump to the verses on the second page there. We read at Matthew 6, verse 11, "Give us today our daily bread." And then moving to the section, "Do not worry," at the bottom of 1381. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, this passage of Scripture includes a number of sayings that are good to keep in mind. A couple of them may even almost have them memorized, right? The one is a question: can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Of course not, is the answer. That one's so familiar. Another is at the end: don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Exactly. We concur on that one. All 10 verses here drive the point home. Hey, stop worrying. Worrying is not good for you. It's not going to help you at all. Every part of these 10 verses drives the do not worry point home. Problem solved, right? Who's going to worry after hearing Jesus says not to in his Sermon on the Mount? I am. I still worry. And so I have to ask, who here worries about things even though they've been told not to by Jesus? Show of hands. You don't have to look around to see who's got their hand up. Everybody. Everybody. They all went up. You got your presidential election coming up. You got inflation. You got people in the hospital having surgeries. You got that lump that you don't think was there before. You got downsizing at your company. You got one of your kids not feeling very well. You got. How am I not supposed to worry? There's only one place in the passage that gives us a how-to lesson, how to not worry, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And you know, that can mean a lot of things, but I think those words launch us backwards a few paragraphs to something that will help us to not worry. Those words launch us back to that Lord's Prayer. In particular, one petition of the Lord's Prayer, we read it, "Give us today our daily bread." The prayer is a worry buster. That prayer can crush worry. And who doesn't want that? Give us today our daily bread. Let's think about that prayer. How can it be a worry-busting prayer? I think in six ways. You can pray that prayer in six different ways, maybe even all at the same time. You want to crush worry? Give us today our daily bread. First, pray it big. Pray it big. Pray that prayer big. The Heidelberg Catechism, as it asks its question and answer about that prayer, tells us that when we pray that petition, we are asking God to take care of all of our physical needs. That's a big prayer we're praying there. A great big thing to remember, to pray it big. It's not just about food. It ripples much bigger than that. Picture a pond of still water, water like glass. Well, outward from the point at which a stone is tossed into that pond, the water will ripple in little waves. The tiny splash of that pebble ripples outward. Concentric circles of waves move quickly away from that pebble on the surface of the water. Bigger and broader the circles grow. The ripples in the prayer get bigger and bigger. Pray it big. That's one of the ways to pray, give us today our daily bread. Bread ripples into money. Money ripples into work. Work ripples into having a job. Having a job ripples into a healthy economy. A healthy economy ripples into good government. You see how it works? The prayer is not just about bread. The prayer is about all the ripples that happen to put that bread on your table. Think of them. Money, jobs, government, business, labor, farmers, good crops, good weather, roads, justice, the economy, politics. Pray it big, rippling out to everything that goes into the just production and purchase of bread and rice and milk and meat and corn and every other food. Ripples as broad, as big as that. In Martin Luther's catechism, when he explained this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, he said that it means we are to pray especially, listen, for government. Government. That's big. Luther's words, for chiefly through government does God provide us our daily bread and all the comforts of this life. We cannot retain any of them or enjoy them in security and happiness unless He gives us a stable, peaceful government. Look at governments around the world. Look at injustices around the world. When government fails, economies break down, stability and peace falter, and poverty becomes reality. And it is a whole lot harder to put food on tables. So one way to pray that daily bread prayer is pray it big. Recognizing that bread on the table is never just about bread. Pray it big. Think of how hard it is right now after Hurricane Beryl crushed into the Caribbean islands, how hard it is for them to have their daily bread. Pray that prayer big for them too, and perhaps it will shrink our worry just a bit. You want to crush worry? Give us today our daily bread. Second, pray it small. Pray it small. Pray that prayer small. What did Jesus say for us to pray? Give us today our daily bread. There is a profound modesty in what we ask for. And so in that way, it's a small prayer. It's a big prayer, but it's a small prayer. It's not a prayer for regularly having filet mignon at fancy restaurants. It's a prayer for bread, plain old bread. Again, the Heidelberg Catechism is instructive here. It explains that bread here stands for our physical needs. Father in heaven, do take care of all our physical needs, it says. Listen to the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy at 1 Timothy 6, verse 8. If we have food and clothing, Timothy, we'll be content with that. Food and clothing. We pray for what is physically necessary for us to live, not for more than that. We don't pray for hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. We don't pray to win the lottery. We don't pray for our business to become the next Amazon. We don't pray for enough money to buy the most expensive car, the newest model speedboat. We pray for what we need to live and move and have our being physically. And in His grace, the Lord God has blessed so many of us so many times over that. But that doesn't alter our prayer. Our prayer remains the same, sufficiently small. Father, please give us what we need. Pray it small. Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of God. Pray it small for what we need, not for what we want or what we have to have or what our little hearts desire, but for what we need. We pray it small, and perhaps that too will shrink our worry just a bit. You want to crush worry? Give us today our daily bread. Third, pray it daily. Pray it daily. Pray that prayer daily. It's daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. We don't pray for a year's supply or a month's worth. We don't pray for a barn full or three extra freezers full. We pray for daily, day-to-day food. We pray for the day's portion. There is a day-to-dayness in this prayer, our daily economic dependence upon God that's supposed to come out through this prayer. Again, there's that modesty in this prayer. We pray for our daily portion, so that the next day we may pray for our daily portion again, and again, and again, and again, day after day after day after day after day. It's daily. Even though we often have cupboards or pantries or freezers or fridges full of food, enough surplus to feed us for a week, still the point here is we need God daily, day by day. John Calvin said, think about this. You've got plenty of food, enough food lying around for a week. Well, think about this, what he said. Not even an abundance of bread would benefit us in the slightest unless it were divinely turned into nourishment. Isn't that something? What a wonderful way to think of it. You can have all the scientific explanations you want about the food chain or all the biochemistry equations about what's going on when we eat that some scientist figures out this many carbs and, well, this much protein and this many fat grams and all showing and explaining how food goes into our bodies and how it's metabolized and affects our cells one way or another. These nutrients grow sturdy bones and these vitamins keep skin growing, glowing, and these minerals make your teeth strong, and these essentials build muscle. You can explain it any way you want, but the simple fact remains, if God doesn't somehow, by His grace, divinely turn that food you eat into nourishment for your body on a daily basis, your body's going to shrivel up and die. Give us today our daily bread. Pray it daily, and perhaps that too will shrink our worry just a bit. You want to crush worry? Fourth, pray it outward. Pray it outward. That is, pray it with neighbors in need, with neighbors in mind, in need, with neighbors in need in mind. Give us today our daily bread. Those are plural pronouns, aren't they? Us and our, not singular pronouns. Give me today my daily bread. No, give us today our daily bread. Pray it outward. Remember Jesus' miracle when He turned the loaves of bread and the two fish into enough to feed 5,000? At that miracle, Jesus Himself prayed to His Father in heaven. Why would Jesus want us to pray? Why would He not want us to pray for over 8 billion people to have bread? Give us today our daily bread teaches us to pray also for others' needs, for others' bread, for the bread of others, that others may eat what they need. Pray it outward. Again, you think of situations around the world where there are natural disasters and poverty and drought and famine and injustice. There are hungry people around the world to pray for. With those simple plural pronouns, let's get away from worry for a moment now. With those simple plural pronouns, this prayer teaches us what kind of people we are to be, doesn't it? We are to be people first who do not waste. That's a hard one. How can we not waste in a nation that is one of the most wasteful nations in the world? We waste everything. We throw so much away, so much good food. We make too much food, and our nation is also one of the most well-fed and overweight. So not only do we make too much, we eat too much, and we still throw away too much. And that's not something that, after all is said and done, you say, "My, how the Lord has blessed this nation." That's not something to say about waste. That's not something to be proud of. This prayer teaches us not to be wasteful people because it teaches us about others' lack of bread. And second, it teaches us to be people who share, who give away. If I'm praying for someone else to be given their daily bread, and I'm not following that up with some legwork to make that happen, can I in good conscience even pray the prayer? Give them what they stand in need of, Lord, but don't get me involved. No, God wants to use Christian people to do His work here on this earth, to pass out food, to give away food, give money for food, invite hungry people over. God's love, God Himself, is a God who gives and shares and gives and shares. And the love of God is in us, that generous love. This is a prayer that is all about tangible ways to show the love of God in us to others. You know, I haven't thought about this, but our hand-to-hand ministry, the room the food is kept in our church, in those steel cabinets or cupboards, that room could be, should be overflowing with non-perishable food items. And once the school year starts again, the weekly necessities ought to be so plentiful because there are kids whose only square meal on the entire weekend is from us. Think about that. That's a tangible way, a need we can help supply as a church for kids a few miles from here. Think of that and other tangible ways to share with people what they need. Deacon food drives come to mind, of course. And our denomination's World Renew Relief Organization comes to mind. This prayer, give us this day our daily bread, is all about others too, about them getting their food and us being people who do not waste and who do give away and share our blessings. The prayer is to be prayed outward, in other words. Pray it outward, and perhaps that too will shrink our worry just a bit. You want to crush worry? Fifth, pray it inward. Pray it inward. Give us today our daily bread. Inward. What? What does that mean? That doesn't seem right. You don't pray inward. But here's what I mean by that. This is all I mean. By praying it inward, deep inside us wells up with great thanks, thankfulness, gratitude. The Heidelberg Catechism says that we need to come to know that God is the only source of everything good. Well, if He's the only source, the source behind all the other sources, jobs and money and farmers and good government and good economy, if He's the ultimate source of our daily bread, then we owe Him our thanks, don't we? Our daily thanks. Commentator Dale Bruner mentions that a thank you prayer should rarely fail to follow a please give us prayer. What a wonderful habit to follow up, give us today our daily bread, with a thank you God for providing it prayer. That's all I mean by pray it inward. Our thankful hearts inside us well up in thanksgiving and thankfulness. In the book of Acts, The apostle Paul stood up in the Areopagus in Athens, Greece, and said, God is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. God gives it to us. What does that say about any prayer we pray, including the prayer for daily bread? It says all thanks inside us goes to God. Inside us goes to God. Pray it inward, with that inward thankfulness deep inside rising to God. And perhaps that too will shrink our worry just a bit. You want to crush worry? Sixth, pray it upward, of course. Pray it upward, obviously upward to God. But what does that symbolize? It symbolizes our dependence. On this Independence Day weekend, we pray upward with total dependence on God. Yes, of course we work hard to make ends meet ourselves, to make a living. The Bible says, yes, you should work hard when you are able. That's one of the things God uses to put food on our table. We put in honest, hard day's work. But the Bible also teaches you can work as hard as you want, but you'll never stop worrying until you trust God. Nothing you do can do you a bit of good without God blessing it. Or as the Heidelberg Catechism says it, your work, your worry, even the gifts God gives you won't do you a bit of good unless God blesses them. So pray this prayer upward, trusting in God, not in ourselves, not in someone else, not even in our work or in our wallets. We pray it upward with trust going up to God, for nothing we do, nothing we have is going to do us a bit of good. If we're trusting ourselves, we'll just end up worrying about it, because that trust will be in someone or something that will inevitably fail us. We pray it upwards, even when there might be difficult times. For God has never broken one single promise, and this trustworthy God is not about to start breaking promises now. God will provide. It's just a matter of how. A lot of the time, it's through us working hard. And sometimes when we can't do that, when the situation arises where we're out of work, where we can no longer work, well, then God provides us in other ways. Sometimes it's through accepting the loving provisions of others. God gives to us sometimes by having others help us when we are in need. Does that sometimes hurt our pride? Well, of course. But you know what God says? He says the same thing. Pray it upward. Trust me. This is how I'm taking care of you right now. Get used to it. Pray it upward. Trust in God alone, for he is the only one we can trust with every fiber of our being. We can't say that about ourselves or even about a robust economy. We can only say it about God. So pray it upward, and perhaps that too will shrink our worry just a bit. You know why that one's true? Look what God has done. He gave Jesus. This all rests on Jesus. You know that. He gave us Jesus Christ, his Son, to save us, to forgive our sins at the cross, and give us life eternal with him because of the resurrection. God did that for us, paid for every one of our sins. If you can say you trust him for that, well, you can trust him for anything and everything else. Pray it big, pray it small, pray it daily, pray it outward, pray it inward, pray it upward. The worry-free secret. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, thank you for providing it. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Let all God's people say, Amen. Amen.